has one almost every day. There's something on there.
All right, are we good to go? All right, good evening, everyone. How's everybody doing today? Everyone's had a good day so far? That barbecue, man, I'm telling you. Everybody, you need to be at 70 Old Ithaca Road. I love it so much, I've already memorized the address. 70 Old, you guys open up on March 15th? Which is Thursday. It's on, I'm telling you. It's going to be good. It's a Christian business, and it's food. I don't know what else you need. So get your butt over to sample that barbecue, and it's going to be a good time. Amen? So I'm just incredibly excited for tonight. I am not going to lie to you guys. We will not be done early. Yeah, that is not true. I'm just telling you right now, we will not be done early. They gave me probably one of my top three favorite topics, and that's the topic of prayer. So it's going to be fun. So who here prayed today? That is good. That is good. That is good. Now, who here actually believed that God heard their prayer? Amen. Now, who received an answer to their prayer already today? Awesome. Awesome. So we really want to just talk about the power of prayer. What does it actually mean? What are the things that you can actually glean from that? What does it mean to pray? How to pray? How not to pray? Different types of prayers. So by the time that we are done in the next, Lord help us, 59 minutes, in the next 59 minutes, I believe that we can walk out of here, and by the time that you pray tonight or tomorrow, your prayers are going to be on a whole different level. I really do believe that. This morning, we had 5 a.m. prayer on the phone line. Then we had 6:15 a.m. prayer as well. So for myself and my Bible college students, we're on the phone for an hour and a half this morning before 6:30 a.m. just praying, believing that God was going to do a supernatural thing this week in our own lives, in the church, in the pastoral staff. We were touching every single area. And people have been sending me texts saying, wow, those prayers, I really got them. They really sunk in. And we've already begun to have testimonies from those prayers. That is amazing. But that did not come just by, opening up a book, reading some prayers, and then closing it. They're hoping that God works. No, there is a principle behind it that I want to teach you guys. Now, prayer is deemed one of the most...
Your mic on?
Yes, I do. Do I need a handheld mic as well? So this mic is just for the live stream. Would you like me to have a handheld mic as well?
Yeah.
Okay.
If you want me to hear you,
All right, no problem.
Hear you, I don't hear you.
Anybody have a testimony to share while we get me a microphone? Nobody has a testimony?
No,
go ahead, James.
Saturday, Mr. Carl, the men's worship team, Pastor Banfield, and Rick's wife went down to Chemung County Nursing Facility, to sing down there.
Mm-hmm.
And we were able to minister in song to my grandmother.
Awesome.
So, yeah.
That's amazing.
So. I worked there, and I heard it was great.
You do?
Yeah.
What for?
I'm the night supervisor, so you don't see me. I work at night.
First, second, third, or?
Third shift.
I
have
four.
The whole building, but I do hear that.
That's awesome.
Good,
good. Awesome. All right, so while they get that, here's what we want to just start to talk about. I'm going to move closer to you so you can hear me. So prayer is one of the most powerful weapons that we have as Christians. Now, it would be foolish for you to try to take a hammer and a nail and put it into something that has no business with a hammer or a nail. Is that correct? If something needs a screw and you use something outside of a screw, that would be really foolish, okay? That really implies this. You have one main goal. Make sure this thing is completed. You have one main goal. Make sure this thing is completed. It would be foolish for me to sit here and tell you that there's only one type of prayer for everything. That's not the case. There are different types of prayers for different types of things. And I want to be able to go through all those different types of prayers. So then when you go home and you pray, you can say, okay, this is what I need. This is the type of prayer. I can now begin to work out this type of prayer. And now I know God will answer it because I'm operating off of the correct principle. Does that make sense? So first, let's talk about what prayer is not. Okay, let's just get that out of the way. There is not one way to pray. Okay, there are some churches or some people that make you feel as if you're not praying like me, then you're not holy enough. If you're not praying like me, then you are just not going to really hear from God. That's a lie. Okay? There's not just one way to pray. In addition, the prayer has to come from the heart, not just your mouth. So if you're just moving your lips and it sounds good, that's not prayer. That's talking. That's empty air. That's empty words. Prayer is not pompous. So there are people that want to use these and thous, and they're stuck in the King James, and they think that they're more holy than the next person. That's really a pompous spirit. That's not what prayer is. Prayer is not competitive, where you're praying and then you just wait for the person to end and then you just come in because you have bigger words and you have a greater revelation of things to pray. That's not what prayer is either. Prayer also is not chanting. That's weird. Okay? I mean, like, who here has seen, what's it called? Oh, I just lost it. Black Panther. Who's seen that? So no, we know like those scenes where they come and they're just like, like that's not what prayer is, okay? That's cool for Black Panther, but that's weird when it comes to prayer. Don't do that. You can't just use just one word and just keep chanting it over again. That really sounds ritualistic and more like a cult. That's not what prayer is. And prayer is not about yelling. God is not deaf. The Bible actually says that the hand of the Lord is not short, nor is his ear deaf. That verse is really talking about the fact that God hears your prayers, but at the same time, God doesn't need you to yell, "Oh God! Oh God!" No, he doesn't need that. Okay? And what actually begins to happen, and this actually happens in more of the African American church, is that they want to pray real loud. And then anybody else that is not as loud as them, they make them feel as if their prayers are not good enough. And now those type of churches are actually driving away people who are just more soft-spoken. And there's nothing wrong with you being soft-spoken. You can be soft-spoken and still be powerful. If you think I'm lying, married men, look at your wife, and she gives you a look, and you run. She says no words, and you know all hell is about to break loose because you messed up and she didn't say a word. So you don't need words. You don't need that volume to be powerful. Am I right? Yeah, amen. Good. Also, prayer is not spooky. Prayer is not spooky. If it just feels weird, if it begins to feel as if you're in like a cult, if it begins to feel as if people are like humming and there's like incense and there's these like weird lights and now you have this board that like kind of moves and all that stuff, that's just not of God. I'm just saying that straight up right now. That's not of God. It's not spooky at all. It's not pompous. It does not have to be loud. It does not have to be competitive. It does not have to be a yelling thing. Prayer is really about my communication to God from my heart. It has to be from my heart, and it has to be sincere. It cannot just be mere words exiting my mouth. If it is mere words that will exit my mouth, but there's no heart behind it, then it does not make me any different than the world. The Bible says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart." Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. So many people had made prayer become such a ritual where they can pray for 1 hour. They can pray for an hour and a half. They could pray for 2 hours, and it has nothing to do with God. Prayer is like building any other muscle. Over time, you can do it for a long period of time, but if there's no heart behind it, it means nothing. Oh, y'all are quiet already. Uh-oh. We're in trouble now. So that's what prayer is not. So let's get into what prayer is. You guys ready? So there are different positions of prayer. It's really interesting when we call a night of prayer or fasting and prayers. It's just like watch the different people. The people there like look around to make sure that the person next to them, if they're doing something, then they do it. This person's doing like this, they begin to do like this. And it's just so interesting. But there are different ways that people pray. Some people, they pray standing up. Some people, they pray with their eyes closed. Some people, they kneel. Some people, they lay prostrate, which means that they actually lay all the way down. I want to demonstrate because these pants are too tight to get back up. But those are different ways. And honestly, what actually begins to happen is the more somebody wants to surrender, the lower they go. The more that I want to surrender, the higher my hands go, the lower my face goes. But that doesn't mean that my prayer is better or not. It just means that in that moment, that's the condition of my heart. Lord, I want to close my eyes. I want to lift my hands. I want to kneel down. I want to lay down before you. But my bodily position means nothing if my heart is not connected to me. Let me prove it. The Muslim faith, when they pray, there's a certain way that they pray. You need to face a certain place. You need to pull out a certain rug. You need to kneel and lay in a certain way. And I have no problem with that person. I have a problem with their practice because they are praying to a God that has been buried. So all that up and down and five times a day and all of that is being prayed to a dead God who is not responding to you. So that tells you and I that if your body position may be perfect and it looks good for the church, but your heart is not behind it, then it's still false. So keep that in mind the next time that you think somebody's laid out here crying, rolling all around, and they look all holy. But you don't look at them. Figure out where your heart is. Amen? Communication is the key to prayer. Communication is about building a relationship with God. You are getting to know Him, not just know about Him. So this is information versus revelation. This is information versus revelation. Let me give you an example. First time I saw my wife, I asked my friend, who is that information? When I first took her out on a date, she began to tell me who she was from her own mouth, revelation. Information, it is distant, and it's coming from somebody else. Revelation is close, and it's coming from that person. So you can come to church, sit in this seat, listen to the man of God talk to you about God, and that's just information to you. But when you begin to pray, and you're speaking to God, and God then speaks back to you about who He is, from His mouth, from His throne, now there's a revelation about who He is. But you don't get that if you're not in prayer with Him. You don't get that if you're not in communication with Him. You are literally talking with Him, and He is literally speaking back to you. It is a two-way relationship, and we are sharing what is really in our heart. Pastor has these notes, that God wants you to share everything with Him. When you are happy,
when you are sad, when you are mad, when you are frustrated, when you are confused, God wants you to be honest with him about all things. Now, here's where I'm going to get a little bit intrusive with you. God, in the Bible, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, God has called you to cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you, which means all your issues should be cast on the Lord and not on social media.
Amen.
So, oh, I'm having such a horrible day. Everybody hates me. The world sucks because nobody likes this post. I just hate everybody. Okay, well now, type amen if you really love me and if God's going to have a breakthrough in my life. I'm not typing amen. I'm actually going to unfollow you.
Amen to that.
The Bible says to cast your cares on him because he cares for you. Social media is not prayer. I'm not going to click, link, and share. I'm not. That's not Bible. Show me in the Bible where if you get 1,000 likes, God's going to move. That means every person before Facebook has zero prayers answered. That makes absolutely no sense to me. People spend so much time casting their issues on social media and zero time in their prayer closet. Zero time on their knees in prayer. Zero times actually praying to God, who's the only one that truly cares about all your petty issues. Okay. That felt just so good to just get off my chest. As we are talking with the Father in prayer, we are building a friendship with him. John chapter 15, verse 15 says, "No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends." How amazing is that? James chapter 2, verse 23, where Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. God wants to have a relationship with you, and that means that you have got to talk to him. There is no relationship that is going to be successful if you're not talking to the person. All the married women said amen.
Amen.
So let's get into the, you're gonna have fun tonight. Let's get into the first type of prayer. Say supplication.
Supplication.
Say again, say supplication.
Supplication.
Supplication is a humble, earnest, detailed prayer. This is where you begin to list out all the details of what the thing that you are asking for. Many Christians have been taught, well, just believe the Lord. Whatever he gives you, just be thankful for. Don't be begging. Don't be asking too much. If it's his will, he'll do it for you. If it's not, well, just be thankful. That's not Bible. God is a very detailed God. If you just read the first chapter of the Bible, it goes into a really amazing detail. If you look at how nature is set up, it's great detail. If you look at your own body, it's phenomenal detail how God put all that in order. It's crazy. We serve a detailed God. So if we serve a detailed God who took his detailed time to create this detailed world that we live in and to create everything in your life in a perfect detailed way, why do you think he would not want you to give him detailed prayers? There are so many people that are living beneath what God has for them and they've been blaming God, but I'm here to challenge you. Perhaps your prayers have not been detailed enough. Oh God, give me a man. Well, my man is busted, he's broke, he ain't got no teeth, he ain't got no job, his car is broke. You just said a man. Where was the detail in it? I'm just being real. When you pray, you have got to be specific. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 through 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. There are some things that I want to encourage you to be specific about. Before you came to this church, you should be specific about the type of church that you want to be a part of. Is it a Bible-believing church that believes in the power of God that is built upon the principles laid out in the book of Acts? Or is it just a church that exists on the corner and they have a potluck once a month? You should be praying for the type of house or apartment that you want. Okay? I remember when my parents bought the house before the one that they're in now. My mom made this two-page detailed list. My mom was a prayer warrior. And everything she wanted on that list, she got. And she refused to compromise. She said, God, you said I could have whatever I pray for. I want this, 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 and this. And I don't care how much it costs, I want it. That's my mama. You should be praying for the qualities in a spouse. The qualities in a spouse. If you are not praying for a spouse that is God-fearing, that is full of the Holy Ghost, that can pull you up when you're down, that can pray you through some things, you are a fool. Okay. You should be praying for the type of job you want or how to gain wealth. Mr. Sample here, I'm sure he didn't just wake up one day and this idea to open up a barbecue restaurant just like hit him. It's like, oh, okay, I think I'll do it. No, I'm sure you sought the Lord. I'm sure you ran from it for a little bit because it scared you. But as it goes on, and without even talking to him, I know he's been detailed in his prayer saying, God, how do you want this to work? And also, Lord, this is how I want it to work. There was being so much detail in, Lord, how do I want to acquire wealth? You have the right to do that. Perhaps you're stuck in a job you hate because you weren't specific about it. You should be specific about the friends and your social circle. Very specific about the people that you are around. Studies show that you are about the average of the five people you spend the most time with. So, if that average is kind of low, and you're kind of low, don't blame anybody else but yourself. So tonight, go home and say, Lord, I need better friends. And then list out all those things you want in your friends. This may seem so trivial, but there's so many people that walk around and they think that, well, I have to just live with the stack of cards that I've been dealt. No, your prayers can begin to shift your life. Amen? Amen. You need to be a seeker. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. The Greek word for seek there means this, to require or to demand. To require or to demand. If you require something or if you demand something, I'm sure there's nothing general about that comment. You demand for the sign of your restaurant to have a certain font and a certain color to be installed on a certain day because you're paid a certain amount for it. There's no general, oh, it will be up sometime. No. Oh, boo-boo. No, I'm paying you this amount, so I want this, this, and this. I require it and I demand it because I sought after your business and I paid you for it. Are you that intense in your prayer life? Ooh. Do you think you have that same authority in your prayer life? Or do you think that authority only exists when there's natural money involved? We'll get to that. So the first one is supplication. Next one, say intercession. Say intercession. This is when you are standing in the gap in prayer between God and a person or people who have provoked judgment upon themselves. Who here has or has had a wayward child? a backsliding child or a backsliding spouse. Okay, the hands kind of went down. Praise God. In Genesis chapter 18, verse 23 to 32, Abraham is in a predicament because the people of God are acting like straight up heathens. I mean, it's bad. And Abraham has this really strong, genuine relationship with the Lord. And as he's praying to the Lord, he says, God, if I could just find 50 people that aren't straight up heathens, would you save this place? And God says, if you could find 50, I'll do it. And Abraham said, okay, Lord, not to push it, but if we could do 45 people. Lord says, all right, well, we could do 45. Okay, Lord, since we're here, what about 40 people? Okay, Abraham, if that's what you want. 30? Okay. 20? Okay. All right, Lord, one last time. One last time. If we could find 10 people. And the Lord said, you know what? Okay. Because it showed such a love. And God said, if there's 10, all right. There was a chance for them to be spared because somebody stood in the gap. This is selfless because Abraham was okay. If he did not pray this prayer, he still would have been okay. This had nothing to do with him. But it was for somebody else that had brought judgment upon themselves. Abraham stood between God and man and interceded for all the souls in Sodom. And this is a type of shadow of whom? Jesus. Because you see, the cross stood between God and man again. And Jesus, with the spilling of his blood, was interceding for you and I. And with the blood that was spilling, he was literally saying, God, as I spill this blood, give them one more chance. I'm paying the debt for them. And as I pay this debt, now there's nothing holding you back from reaching out your hand again to them and pull them back into your grace. The cross was intercession. How powerful is that? The cross in itself was a prayer to say, I will stand in the gap for the 50, for the 45, for the 30, for the 20, for the 10, for the one. I'll stand in the gap, even if it's just for the one. I want to spill all my blood for the one. In Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30, the Bible says that God was looking for somebody to be like Abraham, who was standing in the gap, but he couldn't find anyone. So because nobody stood in the gap, God had to uphold his principle and begin to bring out judgment. So here's a question that I have for you. What church, what ministry, what community, what individual has a future that is resting on your intercessory prayer? Where they don't know it's a matter of life or death until you get on your knees and you pray. I know my mama. When I was in college, I know she was interceding for me. One time she called me, oh man, it sucks having to save mama. Called me up and I was like getting ready to like go out and party, right? She calls me and she says, the Lord is showing me that you're about to go out and party. No mama, you are not hearing right from the Lord. And she said, just so you know, don't go out. I'm praying for you, but don't go out. And I mean, I was so scared. I'm like, where is this woman? Like, how did she know this? I did not go out that night. But I don't know what would have happened if I went out that night. But her intercessory prayer led the Lord to give her a word of knowledge that I was doing something that I shouldn't be. Then when she called me and I began to shift something in my life, but none of that would have happened if she wasn't interceding for me. To this day, I don't know what would have happened if I went out that night. I may not even be standing here. But because one moment of intercessory prayer protected my future. I'm not saying that you are God, but I'm saying that your prayer can begin to activate something in heaven to save somebody else. Amen? Was that good? Next is the prayer of faith. Guys, you may actually do this. It's only 7:30. The prayer of faith. This is my favorite one, okay? When you have no doubt that when you pray, it will be answered. That when you voice your petition, there is no question the answer is en route. If you are on the prayer line this morning, one of the small group leaders in our group, they gave a testimony that for the past 8 years, they've been trying to sell a house in Colorado that was unable to sell because the oil business had left that area. It was a deserted area. People would rent, but nobody would buy. 8 years of not being able to sell, carrying a mortgage when you're not even in that house. And they said that this year, their house would sell. And that may sound churchy, but when you hear their prayers, they said this year, it will sell. They commanded. They felt that there was absolutely nothing in hell, nothing on this earth, and nothing in heaven that will stop them from having that prayer answered. So then we were out on a date with them last weekend. And during the date, the husband gets a text message that an offer has been put in on the house. After 8 years. Now, they've been praying those other years. But at the end of last year, my wife and I, we began to teach them, you guys are asking about things when you should be declaring and decreeing things. When you ask, you're begging. When you declare, you now become a king. And kings don't ask permission. So now their prayers shifted from, God, can you please do this, to God, your word said, and I believe it and I receive it. And they truly felt that nothing could stop them. So they get this offer while I'm eating my garlic fries and my steak. And my ribs, praise God. It's wonderful food. This is how much faith they had. The offer was good. Remember, no one has put an offer in 8 years. The offer was good. The wife says, counter for lower. She said, if God has done it this far, her faith was through the roof. She said, counter for lower. And in 3 days, they said, that lower offer, we'll go for it. All it took was a shift of a prayer that went from, Lord, I think you can do it, to, Lord, I know you've already done it. And that's faith. Now, faith may sound like, oh, well, that's just that super hyper thing that these pastors that sweat on TV and ask for money do. No, I sweat when I preach, but no. You can have that same faith. You have the power inside of you to say, God, I believe your word. Oh, but there it is. The prayer of faith is predicated on how much you know the word. Because you don't pray the prayer of faith off of emotions. You pray the prayer of faith off of the word. The Bible says in Joshua chapter 1, verse 3, wherever I put my foot, God's going to give to me. I'm not saying, oh, Lord, I hope I'm going to get that piece of property. I hope I'm going to get. No. Lord, your word said, I stand on your word. Your word said, I'm the head and not the tail. Your word said that I'm above and not beneath. Your word said that I will never again have to borrow, but I will be the one that will be giving out money. I will have more than enough stored up for me. This will be my season to release so much and still be living in overflow. I can pray like that because I know that's the word. Perhaps the reason why you may not be able to pray like that is because you don't have enough word inside of you. I don't mean that in a rebuke. I mean that in love and a small rebuke. But the more word you have inside of you, the more you're not feeding your spirit man. The more you're not feeding your spirit man, the more faith is not being activated. What is that thing that you're praying for right now and you're hoping it gets done? I would challenge you that what you're hoping will get done is not backed up by any verse. Because if it's backed up by a verse, then you know that it's already done. Let me say that again. What are you praying for right now that you are hoping for God to answer? I would challenge you, what you are hoping for God to answer, you do not have a verse to back it up. Because if you had a verse to back it up, you would already believe it's done. God is not moved by your need or by your circumstance. This may seem evil, but it's actually to protect you and to protect God. Why? If God is moved by your need and your circumstance, then every evil person will have their prayers answered. And if God is moved by need and circumstance, then all the principles God has in his word now go off to the side. Which now means that his word is no longer valid. And if his word is no longer valid, then the church of God should just shut down. So it is in God's best interest not to be moved by your need or your circumstance. But if ye is moved by your faith, oh, now that's different. Because your faith is predicated on his word. And the Bible declares he holds his word above his name. So now nothing has come into disorder when he answers you based off of your faith. I'm getting excited. If God has said it in his word, it is true. No matter what the circumstance may say. I talked about this in the spiritual warfare class. When you go from begging to declaring, you are going from thinking like a servant to thinking like a king. And when you are a king, it does not matter what the previous law has said. With your word, you can decree and to declare a new law. Perfect case in point. Everybody else in your family might have died of cancer. But the new law as a king or a queen could be, it will be, I'll be the one that will break that generational curse. And cancer will not come near me. No tumor will ever come near me. No foul, evil disease will come near me or my family or the second, third, fourth, and fifth generation. You have that power if you could declare it as a king. But too often people are asking. Now when you ask, you just have to hope and pray that the current circumstance will bend to your favor. When you're a king, you create that new environment. Your prayer shifts environments. I would challenge you, is your prayer powerful enough to shift your circumstance, to shift your situation? Is it? Or do you wake up every day and allow life to happen to you? But I have so much faith that I can open up my mouth, and with every prayer that I release, everything around me must begin to bow down to the word of God. No matter my emotions, no matter the issue, I don't care how many cards are stacked against me, everything must bow down to the word of God. And when I hold his word, when I hold his word paramount and he holds his word above his name, and then I pray in the name of Jesus, what can stop me? I need to get off this topic. This dimension of prayer, it's only predicated on the word, and I cannot get off of this. If you do not have the word, the prayer of faith has failed. Now, I'm not saying you need to have every Bible verse memorized, but here's what I would challenge you. That thing right now that you want God to do, go home tonight and find a verse. Attach it to that thing and pray that verse. Now, and then watch God move. Go home tonight, find a verse for that thing, and watch God move. Who here has a sickness in their body? Like a physical ailment. Okay. I want you to go home and read two chapters in the Bible. If you raise your hand, read Isaiah chapter 53, where you will find one of the verses that says, "By his stripes you were healed." And as you study it out, you'll begin to see that there were 39 stripes that went on the back of Christ. Isaiah 53, verse 3 through 5. And you'll see that in our current day, there are 39 different categories for diseases. So with every stripe, that disease was taken off. So that'll fuel your faith. And then Isaiah chapter 58 talks about fasting. And the Bible says, is this not the fast that I've called to break off that yoke? You attach that to your prayer and watch God begin to move. The word is the foundation for the prayer of faith. And once you have the word in you and you believe it, there's nothing that can stop you. Amen?
Amen.
Satan is not trying to steal as much as you think he's trying to steal. He doesn't want your money. He doesn't want your house. He doesn't want your little ugly boo. He don't want none of that. All he wants is your faith. If he can have your faith, then he can have everything else. No wonder the enemy makes sure you have no time to be in your word. Amen? All right. Next, let's look at the power of eternity. Say that with me. Power of attorney. Okay, I need two people. Yeah. So let me show you what the power of attorney does. You're going to represent God. You're going to represent Jesus. And I will represent everybody else. Hey, Bible college student, holla. Here's what power of attorney does. Power of attorney literally means whatever power the person behind you has, or whatever power they have delegated to you, you have as well. So here's what happened. God has the supreme power. Can we all agree with that? He has all the power in the world. He's all powerful. Mm-hmm. When we introduce his son, link up, his son now has delegated power of attorney. That when his son came on this earth, even though he was all flesh, he was still all God. So he can now begin to exercise the power that God had in heaven. He began to exercise it here on earth. So there was no sickness in heaven. So when Jesus came on the earth, he had the power to deliver people from sickness. There was no blindness in heaven. So when Jesus came on the earth, blind eyes began to open. Do you see that? God literally said, whatever power I have, son, you have it now. You follow me? Now, here's what Jesus did, which is so cool. Jesus then says, disciples, lay people, his tabernacle congregants, check this out. Not only do I have the power of attorney from my Father, but I'm such a good God, I'm going to give you that same power. So whatever power my Father gave to me, and I walk with on this earth, anything you saw me do, you can do it too. So if you want to cast out a devil, if I did it, so can you. And why do you think we pray in the name of Jesus? And the Bible declares in Mark chapter 16, it says, and these signs will follow those that believe. In whose name? And Jesus has the delegated authority from whom? So in his name, I will cast out devils. I will speak in new tongues. If any deadly thing would dare try to touch me, it shall not harm me. And when, not if, when I lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. That's what my Bible says. In his name. Look at this power of attorney. Here's the power of the power of the power of attorney. That authority flows down all the way to you and me. So when I'm praying it, I don't just only have faith. I have power backing me up. And then our theme verse for this year is Mark 16:20. That says what? And then the Lord confirmed it. My goodness. He confirmed, for my preaching, he confirmed the word. Whatever word was written, the word that he holds above his own name, delegated through his son down to me, I release the word, then God now confirms the word with signs and wonders. So it's not empty faith. There's a power of attorney behind it that God says, if you dare hold me at my word, I have to hold on my end of the bargain. So I will now release power all the way down. And because my son did it all on the earth, and Jesus said, check this out. Everything that I've done, you will do and even greater. It's in the Bible. All that I've done, you can do, and you should do, and even greater. Because he goes to whom? He goes to his Father. Look at that power of attorney. Thank you. It is all flowing down. We have been given authority. And that's why some people pray differently. Some people think that, well, Pastor Obi, your prayers are... they are kind of harsh. They're not harsh. They just have authority behind them. Because I thoroughly understand that Jesus said, anything I've done, you can do. And the Bible says God gave his son all the power. That his son gave the power to me. I can literally go to the bank in heaven, deposit that check, that has the undersigning of Jesus and God. But that doesn't happen if you don't know your authority. That doesn't happen if you don't know your word. Who here, this is the first time that you've heard that Jesus has given you the same power he has? This is the first time you've ever heard that. That's good. And I am so glad, even if just one person, I'm so happy. Because once you walk out those doors, you will say, whatever he, now you're going to go back in your word and you will read every single thing Jesus did. And I pray your faith will be built up to be like, wow, he raised up the dead, so can I. Open up blind eyes, I guess so can I. He prayed for an hour, so can I. Anything Jesus did, he gave you that same power to do it in his name. Amen? Oh, we're doing good on time. Then we have the prayer of agreement. Say the prayer of agreement. All right, I want you guys to do something. I want you guys to help me prove a point. All right, I'm going to count down from three. Then when I get to zero, I want you guys to stand up and start clapping. Okay? 3, 2, 1, 0. Okay, sit down. Stephanie, come up here. It's okay. You used to be in my small group, in the youth group. What's up? All right, here's what I want you to do. I'm going to do the same thing. I want you to listen to their clap. Okay? 3, 2, 1, 0. What did you notice about their clapping? You can sit down.
As they kept going, they were starting to get in unison.
As they kept going, they got in unison. Without anybody looking at the next person, thank you. Without anybody else trying, Nobody faked it. But studies have shown, no matter how large the crowd, if they clap long enough together, they will get an agreement. There is a powerful truth that if people agree and they aim at something together, they create energy to accomplish a goal. Without even knowing it, you are creating an energy to accomplish a goal. Why? Because you're all listening to the same instruction. The devil understands what happens when people get together and they believe in one direction. This is why he strives to cause division. Separation has always been the goal of the devil from the Garden of Eden. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 3 real quickly. I love the Old Testament, so we're going to just keep going back there. Genesis chapter 2, we have Adam, and then we have Eve. We have the husband, we have the wife. We got the bro, we got the boo. Like, they are together, okay? And they were both naked, so we know what they were doing. Like, there was really no reason for them to be apart, okay? Are you guys with me? We could be real, it's church, it's okay. Then in chapter 3, the Bible says that the serpent came and found Eve away from her husband. I would dare say this. If Eve never left her husband, or if Adam never left his wife, the serpent would have never had a chance to have a conversation with Eve. Division. If the enemy can separate you from agreement, he has killed you. Why do you think Pastor chases after you when you backslide from the church? Why do you think he chases after you when you miss church? Funny story. So my wife, before her current job, she was working as a nurse in the ER, which required her to work 2 Sundays out of the month, which meant that she missed 2 Sundays a month, which is fine. Our internal process in the church is if you miss 3 Sundays, you automatically get a phone call. Where you at? Are you dead? You all right? Do you need some pie? What's up? Like, somebody's calling you and we're trying to figure out what's wrong. Okay? My wife switched weeks one time with somebody. So she ended up missing 3 Sundays a month. And she got a phone call from someone in the church. And this person, they didn't know she was a pastor's wife. So my wife gets this phone call. Hi, this is so-and-so from His Tabernacle. We just know, are you okay? You've missed 3 weeks of church. And my wife is like, I'm a pastor's wife. She was so rude. But anyways, well, she was rude. That was really rude. She did her job. But here's the heart behind it. If you were separated from that corporate anointing for long enough, we now go back to what happened in the garden. Where now when you're separated, now other false things begin to come into place. Because you can never be truly alone. So either you're in the household of God, or you now begin to flirt with the enemy. That's what happened with Eve. Either we can blame Eve, or we can blame Adam. But either way, there was a separation. And whenever there's a separation, we have now gone from unity to division. Here's what the prayer of agreement does. We come together as a corporate body, 2 of us. And we say, I'm believing for this. Will you believe with me?
Absolutely.
All right. We're going to keep walking. Now I'm having a hard day. Okay. Since we agree, you're going to pull me up. And maybe you're having a hard day, but nope, we agree, so we are going to keep on going. See, when we are in agreement, we have the same focus. So despite my circumstances, we keep pressing forward together. Now here's the challenge. If you are unequally yoked, now you're attached to somebody that does not have the same passion as you do for your goal. So perhaps the reason why your prayers are not being answered is because you're linking up with people that are not equally yoked. And yoke is not Christian versus non-Christian. The term yoke has to do with pace. So I don't care if you sit in the front row of the church. If you're not moving as I am in the call of God on my life, we are unequally yoked. Okay, got quiet. That mean it hit home. Good. The Bible declares in Matthew chapter 18, verse 19, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Write down what it is that you want to agree on. Be detailed in it. Do not change your confession. Stand with somebody that is equally yoked, and you press forth in prayer, not in gossip, not in complaining. This is not a support group. I'm going to keep it real. This is not a time to get petty and to vent about your emotions. You should be in the Word, standing in agreement, and pressing through in prayer. Your text messages should be, I found this verse. I heard this from the Lord. It shouldn't be, well, this person looked at me the wrong way, but I didn't slap him today. Glory to God. No, no, no. That's not what this is. You are standing on the Word in agreement. Amen? Next, we have praise and worship. Now, oftentimes, I like to start off my time of prayer with praise. Because as I praise, as the notes say, you now begin to remember all the good things that God has done. The Bible declares to enter his gates with thanksgiving, enter his courts with praise. The Bible declares, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Do you know why I love that verse? There is no other requisite to praise except for the fact that, Lord, I'm breathing today. Sometimes it's hard to wake up early at 5 a.m. and start to pray. There's no sun out, like I'm tired, got that nasty goo in your eyes. Just start to just say, Lord, I praise you because I got breath. I praise you, I got my little stank morning breath to give you praise. Lord, I'm up. My feet are moving. I can flick on the lights. There's heat in my house. Lord, I'm just praising you. Sometimes you want to get so spiritual, and we don't take the time to just thank him for the things that are already happening. We oftentimes go straight into all of our problems. But what about all the good he's done? I challenge you, tomorrow morning when you pray, spend the first 5 minutes and just thank him. Praise him for the good things. Praise him for the things that you just been taking for granted. Who's going to wake up tomorrow with blind eyes and then give him praise? That you wake up and your eyes are open and you have the audacity to complain. Who's going to wake up tomorrow in a wheelchair and pray? And you have the audacity to say, oh, well, I need to get up and pray again, but then your feet are moving. You're in a house that has heat and someone is in a cold shelter and they can still pray. We oftentimes take for granted what the Lord has done in our lives. I challenge you tomorrow. Start your time of prayer with some praise. Just thank him for the ridiculous things. I remember one night when my second son wasn't sleeping through the night yet. He was up. My wife had been up, so it was my turn. Went downstairs to make him a bottle. You know, as a parent, you kind of just like know like where your house is. You're like so half asleep. You could like make a 9-ounce bottle in the middle of the night, like blind. Like you could just do it, right? I come downstairs and my first son didn't put away his toys. So I'm walking down the stairs and I step on this dinosaur. And I almost swore because it hurt so much. I said, God, I thank you. I can afford to buy my son toys. That may seem so crazy, but in that moment, I was about to get angry. Stepping on a toy at 3 a.m. is not fun. But immediately I said, God, I thank you that I can even afford to step on this. Because how many kids out there would die for that? We take so many. I love you guys for just dealing with me. I know I'm crazy. We take so many things for granted. I challenge you Tomorrow morning, you have your issues that you need to pray about? Yes. You got your prayer partners you need to agree with? Yes. You've got to activate that prayer of faith? Absolutely. You got to intercede for that backslidden friend? Please do. But before you start your time of prayer, I challenge you, just praise Him and thank Him for the little things that we've been taking for granted. It is just a beautiful thing to start off your time of prayer like that. It gets you into an attitude of thankfulness. And you now begin to see that will set the tone and the pace for the rest of your prayer time. Amen? There's one more topic, but I'm going to leave that for Pastor when he gets back in 2 weeks. I say 2 weeks because of this. Next week, we have the Empower Summit, so there will not be any rock solid faith. So if you'd like to attend that summit, just let me know. We can get you signed up. But then we'll be resuming Tuesday night rock solid faith in 2 weeks. Does anyone have any questions? It is 8:01. Give God praise. Give Him praise! An African preacher talked about prayer in 59 minutes. That's a miracle. Because I could have gone 4 more hours. So who has any questions about prayer? No questions? You're welcome. All right. So I'm going to just close out in prayer. But before we leave, you always have the opportunity to sow a seed, pay your tithe, just give to unto the Lord. So there are envelopes here. Just fill that out. Lord, we just thank You for this day. Father, we thank You for the opportunity to engage in Your word, engage in biblical study about prayer. Lord, I pray. Father, actually, Lord, I decree and I declare a supernatural blessing into every person's life because they have sown a seed today of their time. Father, I command a return of a harvest on their time. Lord, I pray that as they begin to reach out to You in supplication, in intercession, in praise, in worship, in decreeing and declaring things to the power of attorney, Father, You will meet their prayer, and before they say amen, You begin to release the answer in the name of Jesus. Father, let them begin to see that there is a higher dimension of relationship with You through true, true, intense prayer, Father God. Increase our fervor for prayer. Increase our intensity for prayer. Increase our passion for it. And Lord, I pray that there'll be a revelation that we don't have to wait till we are up at a certain time in a certain place. But Father, wherever we are, in the car, God, Lord, in the grocery store, especially at Walmart, Father, help us to pray. Lord, wherever we are, we know we can reach out to heaven. Your word declares Your arm is not too short, nor Your ear too deaf. Father, I thank You that You hold Your word above Your name. And through even the powerful prayer of faith, we can begin to speak Your word and we can see it come to pass. Lord, I thank You finally for our theme verse for this year, that this will be the year, not only through divine connections, but God, You will be confirming Your word with signs and wonders accompanying. That every word You have spoken to us that is attached to our faith, Father, You shall confirm it. Let this be the year that we stop just merely praying, but we start begin to testify of how, Lord, You began to operate in our lives, how we not only received it in the spirit, but it manifested in the natural. Lord, I thank You. This will be the year of breakthrough. This will be the year of supernatural breakthrough for each and every single person that has dedicated, Lord, to loving You, to praying to You, God, in faith and saying, God, I hold You at Your word. So Lord, show up in our lives and show out in our lives for the glory of heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.